Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
After more than a month of heavy fighting, the city of Misrata is trying to restore basic services for its citizens. It remains the only town on the coast between Tripoli and Benghazi in the far east of the country that is in rebel hands. The BBC's David Loyne gives us a sense of what life is like there now and how the town plans to rebuild.
Forklift trucks pull shipping containers from the end of Misrata's main thoroughfare, Tripoli Street. The containers, filled with sand, were put up as a barricade against Gaddafi's forces during the desperate days of fighting in the city. Nearby lie the remains of tanks, seven in the ruined vegetable market, others in garages, some cut in half by NATO bombs, more burnt by Misrata's people as they fought for their city.
The people of this city show an incredible example of courage, dignity, and spirit of resistance.
The French philosopher and human rights campaigner Bernard-Henri Lévy, credited with persuading President Sarkozy to join the international force against Gaddafi, came briefly to Misrata to show solidarity. He said that what he saw here was a war crime.
What I saw in Misrata, in the west part of Misrata, frankly, I never saw in Sarajevo such a brutality, complete destructions of a whole part of the city, I never saw in my life.
There's not been a final count of the number who died, but it feels as if it was higher than the figure of 1,200 that's normally used. Every Libyan I've met here has lost a family member, either in the terrible street-by-street fight for the city, or the war now being fought in the countryside between a makeshift citizen army and some of Gaddafi's most loyal troops. They exchange fire daily across what's become a fixed front line, with the rebels hoping that the arrival of British Apaches and French Tiger helicopters will change the balance of the war in their favour. A member of the new city council, British-trained architect Suleiman Forsia, says rebuilding Misrata will involve more than just replacing damaged buildings.
People are still trying to get over what has happened, frightening all night children, families. Some of them, they lost their relatives and friends, and now they're still mourning about this. Very difficult to get over it.
Mr. Forsia has been to Number 10 with a delegation from the National Transitional Council. He says that as well as sending helicopters and planes, the West needs to make Libya's frozen assets available to the rebels. The latest delivery by sea was a tanker of gas, and there are all-day queues to fill domestic cylinders. The full recovery of this town that rose up against Gaddafi will have to wait for the day he falls from power.
That report from our friend and colleague at our partner, the BBC, David Loyne. Well, early this morning, a ship carrying food supplies arrived in Misrata. The shipment was sent from the United Nations World Food Program, and it's intended to feed 25,000 people in the city. We're joined now by Abir Etifa, who's with the World Food Program in Cairo. Abir, can you tell us what the humanitarian situation is in Misrata at this point?
It is certainly a very difficult situation. Misrata remains cut off from the rest of the world except through the port. We also have a team, a World Food Program team, as part of a United Nations interagency mission that is conducting also a needs assessment of the humanitarian situation on the ground. So in a day or two, we will be in a better position to tell you exactly what they have been able to see and what are the needs. However, we've already sent more than four shipments of food to the city, and the situation remains dire. There is a need for food, there's a need for water, fuel shortages face the city, and many of the civilian population are trapped and need food assistance as well as humanitarian assistance, especially medical aid immediately.
Well, let's talk about that medical aid for just a moment, because as we understand, many of the hospitals in Misrata took a great deal of damage, and medical supplies are either missing or simply have run out. What kind of medical assistance have the doctors there asked for?
I, I would leave this question to my colleagues at the World Health Organization. However, we have focused our energy in delivering food assistance immediately to these hospitals. The first food shipments that we sent to Misrata on April 7 went straight to the hospitals. There were shortage of food and clean water inside the hospital. So I would imagine that also on the medical side of things, it must be very difficult.
Well, in terms of sending food to the people of Misrata, with so many of them lacking power at this point, how do they keep their food? How do they keep their food cold? How do they keep the food supplies from going bad?
The World Food Program would always send dry rations and dry food because, most of this food is carried for a long time on ships or on convoys. This is why when we deliver our food, we have also delivered with it cooking water so that people are able to cook this food.
All right, and are you able to get enough food in? You say there's only access through the port. Is that enough to reach all the citizens of Misrata? Are there people who are unable to reach the food supplies?
So far, the only viable option for the World Food Program, as well as all the humanitarian actors, has been the port. We are unable to reach the city from other areas due to the very dangerous security situation surrounding Misrata. We've sent more than 1,600 metric tons of food assistance, enough to feed more than 100,000 people for 1 month over the last 2 months. So, so far, I think what we have sent in is filling the needs, but there is a need for constant shipping of food. It should not be a one-time thing. I mean, this is why we also have in the planning a ship in the next few days carrying more food assistance.
And hopefully enough organization in the city, within the city, Misrata, to then distribute the food throughout the city. That's Abir Etefa, spokesperson for the World Food Program in Cairo. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
She's talking about humanitarian assistance arriving in Misrata only through the port at this point. The other entrances and exits to the city aren't accessible. There's still bombing going on and a threat of bombing from Gaddafi's troops.